In an old television show, a political drama, there was an episode where the U.S. interests in the Mideast were attacked. And so the president was asking his advisors about how to respond to it. And his advisors suggested something and said, this is a proportional response. And the president says, someday someone's going to have to explain to me the virtue of a proportional response. The advisor says, well, that's all there is. The alternative is to use our superior strength to destroy. The human world teaches us regularly to expect a proportional response. The human instinct is to do what is done to us. If we are hit, we want to hit back. If someone loves us, we want to love back. If someone yells, we yell back. And that expectation, that conditioning, I think, explains why this time of year, as we anticipate the coming of Jesus into our lives again, this time is tinged with a little bit of anxiety. Because as humans, we expect proportional responses. We know how often and how deeply we have failed. And we think if Jesus comes and gives us a proportional response, we are in trouble. But God's response to us is not proportional. If I yell at God, God loves me. If I fail God, God loves me. If I show doubt, God loves me. The continuing theme is that God does not act with proportional response. So if we're going from this human mindset to this divine mindset that God has, how do we make that shift to love other people as God loves us? What can influence our human lives to resist that conditioning and expectation of proportional response and of conditional love? The coming of Christ offers us that hope. When we talk about the coming of Christ, there are all these legends and stories and fearsome ideas of who will get left behind. Is that the day we pay for all of our mistakes? Well, that sense of fear comes from our expecting a proportional response. And I have to say, much of scripture that speaks with apocalypse and end times is pretty frightening and tries to motivate us with fear. If you ever saw my old bumper sticker, it said, Jesus is coming, look busy. We are a little bit afraid of what will happen when Jesus comes. And this gospel that we have today is a portion of what is known as Mark's little apocalypse. I don't know about you, but the word little shouldn't ever go with the word apocalypse. But I think it's brief is what the word means here. It also means, I think, that we are looking at an apocalypse on an uncovering, a revealing on a personal basis, on a micro basis instead of a macro basis. So if we look at it that way, as our own little apocalypse, the question becomes, what happens when Jesus comes fully to me or to any one human life? The answer is that we begin to live in hope. We begin to expect something better of ourselves than a proportional response. We get away from the idea of an eye for an eye, and we choose instead to love even our enemies. Jesus speaks in this gospel of the ripening of a little fig tree. And if we are motivated by hope, our own little fig tree begins to ripen and show some fruit because we realize we're not being treated as we deserve. We're being treated better than that. And so our response is to treat others with love and forgiveness as we have been treated. Many people, and we talked about this last week, we often wonder about the punishment for our sins. It is hard to reconcile a God of love with the thought of wrath and fear and punishment. At least in part, I explain that to myself by saying that we are not just punished for our sins, but we are punished by them. Each time we choose vengeance or hurt instead of love, we delay the ripening of our own little fig tree, and we make it clear that Jesus has not yet been allowed into this human heart or this life. Isn't it a bit too easy, though, to think that God forgives all our sins and our failures? It is. It's very convenient until we realize that God feels the same way about our enemies. Not just people we kind of don't care for, but for enemies. In another time, we might have mentioned the name of Hitler here, or Osama bin Laden, or Charles Manson. The challenge of accepting God's unconditional love is the realization that God offers it even to those who hurt others. In that moment, when we realize they get it too, we kind of go back to wanting a proportional response, at least for them. We go to the Gospel of Luke, where there is the story of another little fig tree, which the master curses at and wants to cut down because it's not productive. But if we're honest, I think we will admit that in our human lives, all of us are generally unproductive little fig trees. And our conditioning, if we use our human conditioning, it tells us that the proportional response is to cut down all the little trees that are not productive. But now we're speaking of the coming of Christ into the world and into each heart. And if we can embrace that, the fear evaporates, and we begin to find the one thing we want in human life: to be fully, deeply known, and to be loved anyway. To be fully, deeply known, and to be loved anyway. And that knowledge changes our way of life, because then I feel free to choose to love others deeply. The little fig tree begins to show signs of growth and productivity and hope, because I personally have chosen to love others as God loves me. In the TV show, the military advisor told the president that proportional response is all there is. And it is, if we insist on always choosing human ways over divine ones. But something else is possible when all of the little fig trees start greening up. With the coming of Jesus and my acceptance of Jesus, I realize I have no interest in a proportional response anymore. God isn't in that business. In light of my own failures, I have to say, I want to embrace Jesus fully in my life and in my heart. God is not in the business of proportional response. And when I learn to think as Jesus thinks, I have to say I'm not so crazy about the idea myself. Amen.